Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 165th edition of New Manners Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guest today is Ahmed Jassim, who was born and raised in Iraq. He's one of nine children, now all college-educated adults. He has worked toward a PhD from the University of Baghdad in sociology and urban development, and he was a university professor in Libya for many years. In August of 2014, he and his family moved to Portland, Maine, at the suggestion of a friend. Today, he works for the Portland Public Schools Multilingual Multicultural Center as a parent community specialist, serving the Arabic-speaking families in the district as a cultural broker, translator, and interpreter. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Ahmed. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here with you. Thanks.
So you were the firstborn in your family of nine children, and they named you Ahmed. Can you tell us about your name and what it means?
My name is Ahmed in Arabic, and this is related with the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we always use the name maybe from religion and tradition and maybe historical characters, and we go with that.
Yes. Does your name mean something in particular?
Yes, sure. So all names in Arabic mean something. So I think that all languages has this thing. And Ahmed from Muhammad, and the person who is always thankful for the God and others. So he most thankful for anyone. Yeah. So from thankful. So Ahmed, Muhammad, Mahmoud, from the same root.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So you're a thankful one.
I hope so.
Yes, and your middle name is Abdul Jabbar.
Abdul Jabbar, this is my father's name. Uh-huh. So in Arabic culture, we always use the first and the second and third name. So I think we all of friends know about that. Maybe you can repeat something about that if there's time. So the way we get names, this start with the famous names or the original religion's names, historical names, and maybe from the environment. So we can take anything to name the kids, especially with women. We can use the flowers' names, trees' names, rivers' names. So and with the way we named the kids, or both of kids, boys and girls, this is very complicated, because we have very big and very big tree names, family tree of families. So we have first and second and third and fourth, and I can count maybe 10 or 11 names from my family. Yeah.
Is one child given three names or given many, many names?
No, always we give just one name for the kid, and he will take the father's name and grandfather name.
So when I see
especially
your name,
from the side of father.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your name, Ahmed, means thankful one.
Yeah.
And then Abdul Jabbar says, I'm the son of Abdul Jabbar.
Yeah.
And I am the grandson of Jassim.
Jassim, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Right. And so does that work the same for women?
Yes, of course. The same. So even the woman who get married, she will stay with her last name, with her own last name. So maybe she has different, completely different name. So she will stay with that. She will keep her own name.
And then what about your daughters? Will they have your last name?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Always, as I told with the wives, so they can keep their names. So especially with daughters, she can stay with my name and my father's name and my grandfather's name.
I see. So yeah. It's patrilineal. It's organized through the men, but the women keep their maiden names.
Yes, I think that's the way we can count many names with our family trees.
It's a pretty good formula. How far back can you count in your family tree with names?
Now maybe 10 or 11 names.
Do you want to do it?
Do you want?
Yeah.
Yes, good. My pleasure. So my name is Ahmed Abdul Jabbar, Jasim, Lefte, Khreysan, Hayat, Hassan, Abbas, Al-Jorani.
Wow.
So Al-Jorani, this is the name of tribe. We can count maybe thousands names under this name, Al-Jorani.
An umbrella?
Yes, it's like an umbrella, yeah.
And so that probably gets us back to the 1850s or so, the names you listed. I bet there aren't too many people I know that can name all their family lineage back to the 1850s with that ease.
Actually, I like that because maybe you can keep your history in these names.
Yeah.
You can know about, if you give any names about 50 years, you can count maybe 300 or 400 years from history. So that's amazing.
It keeps things in perspective, doesn't it? We're not the only ones struggling with these problems.
Sure, yeah.
And our relatives have figured out things at least enough to keep the line going all these years. We have them to lean into.
Yeah, this is a very good way to keep the relationship between families.
Yeah. I think it's also a really good way to keep a very strong working memory. In America, they've done some studies recently, and we've gone from being able to remember seven digits with ease, not having to look back and forth at the paper, down to two in many cases when they test us now, because we just call husband in our phone calls. We don't actually walk around remembering numbers or other things.
Sure, yeah.
And you've done that, and you do that also in your culture through poetry. And that's no small deal either. How many poems do you think you have committed to heart?
Many.
Hundreds?
Maybe, yes. Maybe more than hundreds.
That makes you a rich man.
Yes, because if you heard about Arabs, they like poetry very much. And they do, sometimes they write their history by poems. And make it very famous. And they will memorize these poems for years. And I can tell you now maybe three or four poems from 2,000 years. They say it and they keep repeated.
You can tell me the names of the people who've been repeating those poems so that you would know them.
Yes.
It's really quite beautiful.
Yes.
And very anthropological. In a way, right? Uh-huh. That language would be passed along that way. Your poetry tradition predates your religious tradition.
Yes.
And in fact, I read somewhere that many of the lines of poems have worked their way into the Quran.
Yeah.
Because they existed before the Quran.
Yeah. And there's something special in this case because there's a very strong related between Islam and Arabic language and Quran and poetry. So this is... I call it as a mix power. So everything of these things support the other.
A mixed bowl?
Yes.
So like a tossed salad kind of thing.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. So that's why maybe we can talk about our history easily because we have the material, we have the subjects. So it's already done. It's already ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in your family, who is the keeper of the most poems? Does someone have an affinity for that, a love for poetry in your family?
My father.
Your dad.
He is amazing with that. Mm-hmm. He always told us about poetry and stories about these things. So I'm very grateful for him and I miss him. Very much.
Thank you, Abdul Jabbar.
Yeah, thank you.
I know your dad's name.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks. So you also love poetry like your father did. Do you have favorite poets?
From the Arabs or others?
Anyone.
Actually, as we have a very, I think it's very good system on teaching in Iraq. In Iraq and Arab countries, we did many things with English language and arts and science. So they teach us many bonds from all countries, Europe, America, Africa, Asia, and also the Arab countries. So we start maybe with Shakespeare, and we end with Al-Mutanabbi, is very famous Arab poem. And we have many things in this poetry, because it's explained the life. You can find yourself in these poems, and you can do yours. Because Arabic language is very easy, if you are speaking Arabic, I mean, it's very easy to do your poem. And there's many ways to do this. This is the formal one, there's a formal one, and this is, we call it the free poem. You can do anything, you can write anything you want, but there's, basically there's rules control this operation. And poem is... it's most important things in our lives.
Yeah. And they come in so many forms. There are poems of rebellion and poems singing the praises of the place you're from, mm-hmm. and poems that kind of go back and forth between people like they do in Lebanon.
Yeah.
So many different genres.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed learning a little bit about Arabic poetry, both mm-hmm. inspired by my guest last week, and, uh-huh. and you mentioned it again. I thought, well, it's time for me to learn a little bit about Arabic poetry.
Good for you.
Can't wait to learn more, actually. Do you take any inspiration from poetry that when you're doing things that are very difficult, like learning a new language and settling into a new culture, are there words that come to you from poems of the past that feed you?
Yes, because I said that before. I find myself with poems, with poetry, and sometimes I'm confusing with that, because I feel very lucky one if I am going with poetry, and make me free, and I can do anything. Imagine anything, and I can write anything for that, because it's your words, you see, and you can say anything you want, especially with your feelings and your mind, and it's a freedom, always inspiring me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you write poems too?
Yes.
Yes. And do you have a place where you recite your poems, like in a coffee house or weddings or
doesn't
anything like
matter.
That?
Sometimes when I'm in bed. Sometimes when I'm driving, uh-huh. I can, yeah, because it's inspiring things, and it makes me flying, and sometimes make me crying and loving. It's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Poems, it's alive.
And they make you thankful because your name is Ahmed.
Yes, sure. I don't forget that. Yeah.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Ahmed Jessim. He is the new parent and community specialist for the Arabic-speaking community in the Portland Public Schools. Part of your job, Ahmed, includes being a cultural broker. I wonder if you could explain for us what all that actually includes, a cultural broker.
Mm-hmm. Actually, this is between the families and the newcomers, new families from Arab countries, and the schools and education, this district of education and Portland Public Schools. Sometimes they have no English, so, and they have many kids. Maybe the kids can learn English faster than their families because they are already go to the schools. But this is the problem. Sometimes families and parents doesn't speak any English, or they have a little bit. So they need someone to be in between, to break or bridge the gap between their culture and the new one. and their language and the new one, especially for whom those doesn't speak any English. And sometimes, I think this is, I would like to thank Portland Public Schools very much for that, because it's very important for our families and our communities. This is also important for the schools and the teachers to understand all things about kids and what did they like, what did they don't, they can't do, what the most important things to do, what did they learn before, because it's very important to start with them from the right, basic rights. So it's very, I think it's very important, and I stay thankful for Portland Public School for that.
It's extraordinary, actually, what Portland Public Schools offer. It's not something you can find in most towns and most states.
Yes, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. That's
Grace
very
Valenzuela
important.
Has yes, really they, put it on the map.
Yes, they mm-hmm. are very, very, very amazing people.
I agree. Yeah. And you have work on a team of how many people that are parent community specialists?
With the multilingual, you say?
Yes.
About 9 or 10 people?
So there are 10 yeah. full-time translators who not only translate what the grades mean or what the teacher's asking for, but also help families understand you're welcome in the school. Your input is welcome. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We would love to see you at the concert.
Yeah. And also, we did some orientations for the schools and for the teachers to understand more about kids and their families, and about especially there's something special for the newcomer, because they have an idea before they coming here, and some of these ideas it's very, maybe it's complicated to explain, but it's very wrong, and it takes from many resources. So some of these resources maybe it's not right, so they yeah. have confused about what did these see and what did they heard about before.
I think that is so true anytime you're learning about a new culture.
Yeah.
First of all, you might just start with what you can see, mm-hmm. but that might not define everyone. And as you get to know more individuals, you get to have a better sense
yeah,
that's, of what it really is, not what it just looks like on the outside.
Sure, yeah. I think both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is from the both sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when mm-hmm. you translate for the teachers, they find out that the parents of their student are
sure, yeah.
both biochemists, mm-hmm. and they might not have known that
yes.
with the language barrier.
Yes, I like that, yeah.
Yeah. You said there's a meeting planned for the spring inviting all Arabic speakers to participate in a dialogue about how they can become more involved in everyday life and culture here, among other things. Do you have a message for people who might be interested in attending this upcoming event?
Yes, I think this related with what did we talk before. Because I saw my community, especially in winter, they have no time to do this meeting. So we suggest to begin this meeting maybe next month or the month later, maybe in March or April. It will be very good and very helpful to our community to be communicated with the others and with the many people in the city, especially with the City Hall and the Portland Public Schools, maybe with the DHHS or the others, because they have to say something about themselves. Don't I always tell them, don't afraid from anything. Don't be shy. Say what you want to say, and just showing up, because you have to raise your voice. If you don't speak, you will never get answers. You have to ask and to ask again and again, and you have to make your own voice in this big, beautiful city. I think all the principals here can hear you, and they maybe can cooperate with you. So please come. I'm talking with my communities. Please come to the meeting and say what you want to say. Yeah,
I think that's beautiful, because you have to be quite courageous to speak up in public. Mm-hmm. But to speak up in public with limited English skills must be hard and scary, not knowing the whole cultural terrain. So you make that possible for people to have a voice, and I think it's super important.
I
love your message to just say what you need to say.
Yeah.
Because so often I'll say to people, what is it you're looking to do? What kind of job would you like? And so often the answer is, oh, anything. I'll consider anything.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help me put you in touch with the right people. If you say, I'd like to, be a scientist, I could put you in touch with a scientist.
Yeah, maybe this is the second stage for this message. Stop thinking about the past and don't worry about the future. Just think about now, your present, your kids, your new city, your new country. You can do it if you want. Yeah.
And what is it that you find about Portland that you like and that keeps you here?
Maybe because I'm very lucky. I just arrived here in August. So August is a very beautiful month here.
We fooled you.
So, yes. So maybe that's why. And I was waiting for snow. My friend told me there it will be very difficult winter and it will be very much snow. And I can't treat with that. I can't, because I did saw some snow before, and this is not very new for me, but not in this much.
Yeah. Luckily, we had a little thaw.
This year, yeah.
So you and your wife have had many occasions to adapt to different cultures, having lived in Iraq, Syria, mm-hmm. Jordan, Libya, prior to living here in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Are there specific things that you've learned along the way that might help others have the courage to participate in such a different culture than the one they were born into? What have you learned that you could share as little bits of wisdom for new people?
The big thing is there's a hope. Always there's a hope. So don't give up. Ever. Because I faced many difficult times before, especially in Iraq and Libya and Syria maybe. So there's always very kind people. And always there's a hope. Don't give up. Especially in these days, because you can use the media and internet and anything to send a message for anyone. So you can get help from anyone. Just say, I want this and this. So don't give up.
Mm. Yeah. Be clear about your needs.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have children in the Portland Public Schools, mm-hmm. and what's that like? You know, you've experienced education in a number of different cultures yourself. Mm. What do you see them learning, and how is that different from what you learned as a kid?
I think the system of schools here is very, very beautiful and very strong. I'm talking about my daughter, maybe, because when we came here, she doesn't know much English. And when she graduated from her elementary school, she was the first. So that's amazing. That's very surprised us, even the teachers. So when she started from the fourth grade and when she finished fifth grade, she was the first one on the school.
Wow.
Yes.
That's quite impressive.
So that's make me between two blanks. Crazy, because it's amazing and surprised me and surprised everyone who knows Noor. Noor is the name of my daughter, means light.
Huh.
So I would to thank the schools and the teachers because they did very awesome job. And they always cooperated with the families and for what did the kids needs. And it's give me, as I told you before, give me a big hope. So if you want something, you can do it. If you want it, really you want it, you will get it. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Are there other things that you would point newcomers in the direction of, like any organizations that are especially helpful to Arabic speakers or any foundations or organizations that have been helpful in your community?
Yes, I worked before with Portland Empowered and Learning Works and AmeriCorps as a volunteer in the beginning. So we can find anything we want. And there's something I want to add with this. I advised my communities, maybe this is strange, but I have to say it. Please keep your own language, because I noticed many, many kids in schools, they lost their mother language and they have to keep it because it's very important for them. You know, if you know two or three languages, that's better than you just know one language.
It's a huge advantage.
Yes, especially with this, in the beginning, for their families and for their communities, they can do many things with this two language or three languages. So please keep your own language and practice on it, because they're going to lose it if you don't use it.
Yes, that's such an important point, and it will be a great asset going forward.
Thank you.
Ahmed, you are a lovely person
who has managed
to learn English largely from the movies, I would add. And then you've adapted to life in Portland, Maine beautifully. Back at the beginning of your career, you had a mentor that advised you that you will be something. And now you're in a position where you will bring your education and worldly experiences to benefit other new arrivals adjusting to life in Maine. Mm-hmm. I imagine your family is very proud of you today.
So am I. I'm very proud of them. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and I hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Wonderful. And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WERU-FM in Blue Hill and Bangor area. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Ahmed has selected for us. I'm just going to pop it in.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you tell us the name of your singer?
Fairuz.
And which song will you be playing for Iraq?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a song about Baghdad, the capital of Iraq, Baghdad.
So for Baghdad, this is Fairuz, who sings for all of the, number seven?
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
who sings for each capital of the Arab-speaking world, and this one is for Iraq's capital, Baghdad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
ليلة